In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and those who were His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, including us, to them, to us, He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Christ comes to us to set right His fallen creation, to redeem humanity that was banished from Eden. The Christ comes and is met with enormous resistance by dark and evil forces, visible and invisible. Praise the Lord for His strength and resolve to go to the greatest of lengths to rescue us. Because of Christ Jesus, we can know without any doubt that even though we experience tremendous darkness, our Deliverer has come. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created every living creature, all forms of vegetation, and every heavenly body. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." And so God created man in His own image. God blessed mankind. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on earth." God saw all that He had made, and behold, it was very good. The Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there He placed the man whom He had formed from the dust of the earth. Out of the ground, the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." Adam was held to perfect, perpetual obedience. And the man and his wife were both naked and ashamed. This paradise with God did not last long, for the cunning serpent of old came and deceived Eve, and she ate of the forbidden tree. Adam also disobeyed and ate of its fruit as well. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Aren't you thankful we don't have to do that anymore? As a result of man's disobedience, a curse was put on all of creation, and death was instituted as the penalty for all unrighteousness. From that time on, even until now, death reigns in the earth. Man is separated from his creator. Sin abounds, and yet, because of Jesus Christ, hope remains. For even before that terrible moment when sin was birthed into the world, God had made a plan of redemption for us. Despite our lowly state and crooked ways, despite our failing efforts to obey, because of his great love for us, God made a way for us to be redeemed. Hallelujah. While we could not go to him, for we are merely dust, he came to us. He took on flesh and lived among us. Christ became poor in order to make us spiritually rich. From Adam to Seth to Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to Joseph, to Moses and the time of the judges, from Boaz to Ruth, to King David and his son Solomon, and for generations on, through times of famine and times of plenty, all the way up to the time of the expansive Roman Empire, the Lord weaved a lineage through which a great king would come and lead his people back to himself. But the people continued to do as we all do. They went their own way. And the Lord allowed them to be taken into captivity, just as our personal sin takes us captive too. Over and over again, the Lord sent his messengers, men of renown like Moses, Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and on and on and on, to call the people back to himself. They told the people of this one king who would come, a Messiah, the Christ, their deliverer. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. The virgin birth matters, right? Christ was preserved. This is for our good. This shows the sovereignty of God. Preserved from Adam's inherited sin nature. Jesus is the only one born not of ordinary generation for our good. But as for you, Bethlehem, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness, and they will be glad in your presence as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you will break the yoke of the burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian, for every boot of the booted warrior in the battle, and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning, fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. He will sit on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Jesus Christ now holds the key of David himself. The keys of life and death are in the hands of our strong and gracious Lord. For years on end, the Israelites waited, and no deliverer came. Men rose to power and fell, prophets prophesied, but the people could not find freedom from their oppression. Finally, there came a time marked by silence. For 400 years, no prophecy, no word from the Lord, no word from the Lord to guide the people at all. Then finally, God breaks the silence. An angel visits a priest named Zechariah, and his aged wife bore a son, John, sent to prepare the way of the Lord. An angel also appeared to a virgin and to her betrothed husband. A star appeared in the heavens, and foreign magi dreamed dreams, and a whole host of angels visited poor shepherds. You can't make this stuff up. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Teenage girl. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." Goodness gracious. And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Christ was born in order to save us from our sins. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly, terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Could you imagine that night? When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us," the outcast shepherds. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all of these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told to them. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Could you imagine these men coming to him and worshiping this toddler? When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means the least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Herod then secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. They then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. We gratefully, thankfully, remember and rejoice at this humble birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We celebrate Christmas because there is a Good Friday and a Resurrection Sunday to follow. These momentous events in history reverberate in our hearts like the pounding of a drum, awakening the longing within us to be united with Him in eternity. That's at least my desire. They remind us that he will come again and set all things right. Our desperate need as people, our desperate need for deliverance is met in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was born to bleed, to suffer, to die, to rise for you. That's good news. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." He also said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment." This beautiful and true reality is available to all of humanity. Those who have put their trust and hope in Jesus Christ as the only one can as he is the only one who can save them from their sins will receive into themselves this joyous everlasting life, and nothing can take it from them. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Many rejected Christ while he walked the earth. Many hated him and did not believe that he was who he said he was. They did not believe, even though he performed many signs and committed no sin. Their hearts, their minds were set on a warrior who would free them from the tyrannical rule of the Roman Empire, and not set on a Savior who would actually free them from the eternal bondage of their souls. It is the same today. Many still do not believe. Many don't believe in any way. Jesus, as he spoke to Nicodemus, said, "No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God loved the world in this way, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil." We celebrate Christmas and the Advent season as a reminder of all that God has done to show us his mighty love for us, and also as a reminder of the coming joy of being in his presence when he returns. It is a time of reflection of his faithfulness and goodness, but also it's a time to reflect on the state of our own hearts and lives. Though we believe, we fail in our efforts to serve him wholeheartedly. Though we are filled with joy in the life that he gives us, we have sorrow from the death and despair of this world. Though we are eternally whole, we ache from the brokenness of this life. We find peace and comfort in the love of God who sent his Son, Christ Jesus, so many years ago, and we find hope in the promise of his return to make all things right. We admit our own inability to save ourselves and even to live faithfully, and we thank him for being perfect for us. Though each of us groan in this great darkness, because of Christ Jesus, we are not alone in it. At this time, I invite you to come and light your candle from the Christ candle, signifying that you too celebrate the birth of Christ, rejoicing that he came to save you from your sins, that he lived perfectly among men, died innocently, taking the penalty that you deserve, and rose again from the grave, defeating it for you, taking his light into your life and shining it for others to see. You now, too, wait expectantly for his return. If you are a believer, please also receive this invitation to bring your hurts and sorrows to Jesus himself. If you are not yet a believer, I invite you to come to Christ and believe so that you will experience the new life that he and he alone offers. If anyone would like to be prayed for, You may feel free to come up after the service, and we will joyfully pray for you. May the Lord bless you all with a peaceful and joyful Christmas. Amen.